And on the phone with us right now is Mark Weber, who is the director of the Institute for Historical Review. He's going to give a speech at the University of Oregon. Mr. Weber, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Lars.
Is it fair to describe you as a Holocaust denier?
No, it's not.
Why is that?
It's really unfair.
Okay.
No, I don't. I mean, first of all, I'm not speaking in Eugene about the Holocaust. I'm speaking about the Israel lobby. But
we can get into that in a moment.
Right. But views on the Holocaust have been misrepresented. In fact, that's a very common epithet or smear. I don't deny the Holocaust. The Holocaust was, of course, a terrible event and tragedy, but that's not the topic I'll be dealing with tomorrow evening in Eugene.
Now, you grew up in Portland, is that
right?
That's right. Okay, and where do you base your operations now?
The IHR is located in Southern California in Orange County.
And you do describe yourself as a Holocaust revisionist. What's that?
That's a person who tries to look at the Holocaust and all events in history with the same objectivity and discernment that we look at any other aspect of history, and tries to see it not as an emotional or religious event, as many people do, but as an aspect of history.
Well, I guess most people do tend to get emotional when you talk about killing millions and millions of human beings.
Right, but they don't get that emotional talking about the killings of many other people. Jewish deaths or the deaths of any particular people shouldn't be given greater weight and greater importance than those of other people.
I don't think that they are. I just think Hitler killed a lot of people, not just Jews, but other people.
In our society, there's a fixation and a focus on the Holocaust that we don't give to victims of any other thing. You know, the average American knows or hears that Hitler killed 6 million Jews.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, he has no idea how many Poles, Japanese, Chinese, or any other group of people lost their lives in World War II or any other
country. Actually, on this program, we try to mention that many other groups were the subject of the Holocaust, and it wasn't just Jewish victims. But do you deny that 6 million Jews were killed by Hitler during World War II?
Historians have a lot of argument about the exact numbers, but that's quibbling. That's not the important thing.
Sure.
And I'm talking about people who died not just as victims in Europe, but also in other countries. Far more Chinese were killed in World War II than Jews, for example.
Well, and in fact, there were a great many Russians who died as
That's right. But in our society, we have a tremendous fixation, which is reflected in our foreign policy and so forth, on the suffering of one particular people.
Is that perhaps because that one particular group, which is so small, has suffered such a great loss?
I think it's because of the tremendous power that this one group has here in this country.
And that's what you're going to speak on at the University of Oregon tomorrow.
I'm going to be speaking about the power and impact of the Israel lobby and its role in determining American foreign policy, especially in the Middle East.
Okay. And are you going to say that there's anything wrong with particular groups lobbying our government?
No, there's nothing wrong with particular groups lobbying, but it's important for the American people and for all people to understand the fact. And American support for Israel is very one-sided and harmful to American interests.
Okay, let's start with the one-sided part. What is the other side that Americans should be taking note of?
They should have the same understanding about the Middle East that people around the rest of the world does. Anyone who compares the American press, the American media, to that in Britain or France or Canada even, can see very readily that the American press is far more slanted toward Israel and in favor of a one-sided policy toward Israel.
Well, but I'm asking you, what other side should we be balancing it against? The Palestinians?
Not just the Palestinians, but people throughout the Middle East, and of course America.
Well, but
what's
Mark,
America's interest in?
Well, but Mark, you have this one tiny little country that was formed by an agreement of countries all over this planet, not just the United States, to provide a place for people to go back to who had occupied that land for thousands of years and were kicked out of it, and then we have a great many members of the United Nations who do disagree with the United States. You're right. There are an awful lot of anti-Semitic members of the United Nations. What is it you'd like American foreign policy to reflect that it doesn't reflect today?
Lars, your narrative of how Israel was founded and what it does is precisely the phony narrative that most Americans accept and which isn't true. Israel wasn't founded as a consensus of the world. Far from it. It was founded.
Well, I didn't say a consensus of the world. I said nothing gets done on this planet without a consensus of the countries that are in charge at the time. I mean, you've got to admit that Ethiopia is not going to pull as much weight as China or the United States or Russia or Great Britain.
Right, but Israel pulls more weight than Turkey or Bolivia or Pakistan or any other country for that matter, and that's not right. Israel has 6 million people. It's our support for Israel doesn't help America in the long run.
It Why not?
Represent because it involves America in conflicts that are not in our interest.
Give me an example.
World peace.
Give me an example. We have one little democracy in the middle of a bunch of dictatorships. I don't much admire the countries around Israel because of the kinds of policies they have, not only toward their own people, but toward us.
It doesn't matter if Israel is voting or not. If Israel stopped voting tomorrow, the implication is what? We should stop supporting Israel for that reason?
No, I didn't say that. But they are a country much like us with beliefs much like us. And any time you find people who agree with you on substantive issues, you tend to, you know, find that you have more in common with them than perhaps the countries around them, which have sworn to push Israel and the Jews into the sea.
Well, we should regard Israel with the same clear-sightedness that we regard our relationship with every other country.
You don't think we do?
Israel and American interests don't always coincide.
They don't always coincide. But give me an example of the best example you can give me where Israel's interests don't coincide with ours.
Well, there's a whole lot of them. But
well, give me your favorite.
Hold on. Israel's leaders were pushing for America to be involved in the Iraq War. A very strong case can be made, I think a compelling one, that the power of the Israel lobby or the neocons was decisive in pushing the United States for the war in Iraq.
So
now the same lobby is pushing for a war against Iran.
And if true,
would be catastrophic for America and for the world.
Okay, would sitting back and doing nothing about Iran be catastrophic for the world? Because I believe it would be.
Well,
so I mean, regardless of whether Israel takes that position or not, I think that doing nothing about a country that has sworn to A, build a bomb, and B, to destroy Israel, which will certainly touch off a nuclear war that could involve the entire world, is a bad thing for all of us.
Lars, your statement is just objectively not true.
Why?
Iran
what part
is,
of it?
It's not trying to build a bomb.
Iran is not trying to build a bomb.
Israel, you said that Iran has sworn to build a bomb. In fact, Iran has insisted it's
well,
not built.
You're
a
right.
Bomb.
Publicly, they have said they plan not to build a bomb, but we know that the intelligence we have, which I don't think either side of the political spectrum denies, is that Iran has been pursuing a nuclear weapon. That the fact that they have centrifuges for purifying uranium is not aimed at all at supplying conventional reactors, but only at producing weapons grade nuclear material.
However true that may be, the United States has lived and does live with a nuclear Pakistan, a nuclear China, a nuclear Soviet Union, a nuclear India. We don't go to war with these.
But can I tell you the difference I see, Mark? Mark, let me tell you the difference I see, and you tell me why I'm wrong about it. The man who currently heads Iran and the mullahs behind him have said that they would like to destroy Israel, and they have made that public statement. We don't have a China that would act irrationally like that and say we simply want to destroy another country and perhaps provoke a war. That may happen, but we've managed for the better part of half a century not to come to nuclear war with the Soviet Union or with China or with Great Britain or any of the other nuclear powers. And yet here's a country that is a small country, kind of a rogue country, that has said we will, if we can, destroy Israel. If they get the nuclear bomb, you don't believe that they will attempt to use that weapon to accomplish that end?
Lars, that's the second statement you made in this short, brief interview that's false. Iran has not said it's going to destroy Israel. Iran has said that it wants Israel to disappear from the map. That's
oh, well, is there a difference?
People. Look, the United States isn't committed to Israel has eliminated Palestine as a country.
No, it hasn't. When was it? Hold on. Mark, can you tell me the date that Palestine was founded as a country?
Palestine has existed both as a country.
You just mentioned it's a country. When was that country founded? It's never been a country, Mark, and you know it.
No, wait a minute. From 1919 to 1948, Palestine was a district occupied by Britain.
It was not a country.
Palestine has existed as a country.
Who was the president of Palestine or the prime minister of Palestine during that time?
It was under British occupation.
It was never a country, Mark.
Look, that's like saying Israel was never a country.
No, it's not. I can point to you the founding date of Israel. I can tell you the form of government. I can tell you how they choose their leaders. I can even bring up a list of the leaders they've had.
Saying it wasn't a country until 1948. Look, Look,
Palestine, basically, you understand that the Palestinians really were created as an idea in the mid-1960s so that the Arabs would have an excuse to push the Jews into the sea.
Absolutely untrue. This shows just utter ignorance of the whole Middle East situation.
I don't think so, Mark.